I'm opening.
We have an eye, sort of a nostril, two teeth. One of the teeth has a small cavity.
Close call, folks, but I think we got here just in time.
Presented by Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro, this is Anatomy of a Movie. In-depth discussions and breakdowns of various movie titles. And now that you've seen the movie, let the dissection begin.
Hey guys, this is Anatomy of a Movie. I'm Chloe West, and you are hearing, we can't hear it in the studio, so it sounds a little bizarre, but you're listening to Corey Feldman's Duh, which you can find on YouTube, directed by Miss Tana Frederick over here.
The video, yes, the video.
The video is directed by her, and this is your song, which is really cool, but thanks. We're actually here to talk about the M word.
That's right.
And we both are in the video, just FYI.
Oh, yeah. You're in the music video
so
as well?
She directed the video, and then she starred in the video as...
Lucy.
And look at, she's wearing the perfect Lucy breast.
I know, I have, yeah.
Wait, did I say breast? She's wearing the perfect Lucy breast. I mean dress.
Corey, my mom's in the audience.
Sorry.
Corey.
Here I go already.
Right at the beginning.
Just can't think about
just get it out
anything
now.
But sex.
He plays
damn it.
Tricky.
I'm not going to talk about sex.
Actually, we're going to talk about sex a little bit.
Corey played Ricky in the video, just FYI.
Oh, so we are.
So she was Lucy, I was Ricky, and we did not have sex.
I'd like to hear your best Ricky impression and your best Lucy.
Oh, Lucy, I don't want to go there right now.
Ricky!
Come on, Lucy, don't you do it. Now I've got something for you. I'm going to have to take you to the bathroom and then I'm going to get on you.
Yes, yes. We're all going to YouTube that right now just to see that again. That was great.
In actuality, we don't. Crap. We don't talk in the video,
there's not a great...
It's all pantomime. Sorry.
This is one of those... This is going to be one of those interviews where people right underneath... Were they all drunk?
Yeah.
Actually, we're just drinking high on life.
Why does Tana keep laughing and Corey keeps thinking he's funny?
We have really weird... It's cool that when you find somebody who you have great...
Chemistry.
See? He finished his sentences.
That's
and
great.
Corey is that person, and we did like reading together a long time ago. And
for
then,
a play.
For a play.
Is that how you guys met before the movie?
Where did we meet?
Well,
holy crap,
it's a long story, but we actually had the same manager for a little while.
Yes.
And so my manager was helping her get a play cast that she was doing with Henry, and they were doing it at their theater at the Edgemar. And she said, you know, I need you. Well, she said to Scott, my manager, hey, could you come down and have him maybe do a reading with us for this play that we're trying to get up on his feet? And I think whatever it was, I wasn't available, but they had sent me the script that she was working on next. And it was this great play called Sylvia, where she was playing a dog.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and, yes. I love that
which
play.
Which kind of is a little bit of like, you know, the predecessor to this whole movie, really, because she was playing a dog.
She
know,
plays a dog in the children's show.
Movie, right. Yeah. So she was doing the dog thing, and they needed, you know, somebody to do it with her to play the
there are
dad.
Three roles. They no, you auditioned for the three roles. There's a very difficult part.
Oh, you play all three, right?
Yeah, and so he did a brilliant audition, of course, because he's a brilliant comedian. And then we were like, yes, yes, yes. And then he's very busy. He's a very wanted man, so he couldn't be in the play. And the play, you know,
I think
ran,
I was on
like,
tour that year. Wasn't I on tour that year?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah.
So I think I was on
That's
tour with my
commitment.
Band, and they were like, well, we need you for, like, yeah, forever on weekends.
Forever.
And I was like, weekends is when I do my shows. I don't know how I'm going to do that. You know what I mean? So, like, I was like, I could do it all week, but the weekend part... That's going to be rough.
That's when you're out of town.
Yeah. So the conflict was too much.
Not so
but
much,
we all then. Made frenzies. And now we're best frenzies.
And then you were able to do the film.
And then the film came up.
And so let's get into the M word.
Okay.
Because this, when you look at the title, you're like, what does it stand for? Does it stand for marriage? Is this going to be about marriage? And no, it's about menopause.
Yeah. Or and menstruation.
Today, my M word would be mucus.
Mucus.
Farmer blow sorry. Right on the table. Show us what
gosh.
You got.
Oh, lay it out. A rocket launcher
yes. no,
right there.
I woke up a little ill today, so you can hear the deepness in my voice.
Yes. Really, but it is sexy.
It's my sexy
yeah,
time.
It's very nice.
Yes.
Dang.
Very nice. How low can you go?
I feel like I'm in the tickle chair. And
how low can you go? How low can you go?
with the M word, did you guys, when you read the script, were you immediately into it and like, because it's not, I mean, it's a part of it different. Is about menopause, but it's also about a small TV station in LA about to go under, New York right. coming in and taking over. And there's a parallel between menopause and the TV station at its time and sort of either going under or gonna maybe hopefully due to the documentary
be saved.
Yeah. So were you, when you read the script, were you like, oh, phew, it's not all about menopause? Or,
well, Henry develops all of his script from like ground zero, according to the people who are cast. So Corey was the first co-star cast in this. And so the development of the script with Henry Jaglom and Ron Vignoni started emerging with Corey and my, our flavor, our chemistry, whatever. And
like basically Henry would get together with the two of us and watch us together and see how we kind of correspond. And then he goes and he writes a sketch. He
wrote
a blueprint. And he says, okay, I'm going to have her do this scene with him, and that would be fun if we got them into this situation or that situation. But it's a long process, right?
It takes a year to write the script while...
Wow.
Yeah, and then he lets you go. So you're only... Because we shoot in such a short amount of time, you get a first take, you do basically the scene, or maybe you don't even have any information for the scene. Henry might just tell you, okay, this is where she's going to pull you out and tell you something, and then you just have to go with it. Like the spider scene, which is one of my favorite scenes in the world.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's you're like...
I mean, you feel really bad for your character, because as she plays your girlfriend in this movie, and she'll come out of the boardroom in that, this is the spider scene we're talking about, and she comes out, and you just feel so bad for your character, because she's totally emasculating you, like, the whole movie.
Right.
And I think
and
the audience really
like a man.
Yeah, and the audience feels bad for your character.
You know what's really funny?
I
have something to say about that.
Yeah, I want to.
Speaking of emasculation,
just remember I'm sitting right next to you.
Yes, well, turn off. No, it's all her fault. No, really, what happened was, and this is actually true. A lady came out of the premiere, and she came up to me, and she says, you know, I just love it when you play the bad guy. It's so nice. And I was like, bad guy? How did I play the bad guy?
That's great.
But that's really what it was. Like, he was so emasculated that you almost felt like he was a schmuck, you know? You're just like, this guy's a schmuck.
But he wasn't. He was the one trying to help it the whole time.
Right. He's really the good guy. Well, if anything, he's the only honest one in there. You're like,
exactly. Oh,
in this day and age, the good guy is the bad guy.
No,
I see that
he
works.
Was trying to, like, get... His character was shady, man.
He was?
He was trying to get in with the New York people, and like he was trying to double cross me.
That's
and
true.
Then he was like, I won't even say period or menstruation. And this show is, he says, this show is going to be terrible and not work out. His character does.
Well, he also doesn't want to be a part of it.
He doesn't believe in it. I don't know if that means that he's a bad guy, though. He's just trying to
he's
be honest.
He's a bad guy.
He's a very honest person.
Yeah.
He's a very honest person, and his honesty
is shady.
Well, it's more in his favor, shall
yes.
we say.
Right.
So he likes to see his version of the truth.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the...
Okay, that's a really good way of describing it.
Well, it was my character. I owned it.
And so what's interesting about how about how Henry makes the films is that he relies a lot on the actors, which is really cool. And have you guys ever... I mean, you've worked with Henry a lot before, but I feel like this is not a common thing in filmmaking. For the writer and director to really take on a lot of what the actors are kind of giving to them. Mm. So what was that experience like, being able to make a film where the writer and the director is really listening and, like, everything you do, they they might use?
Well, do we want the real answer?
No.
Let me see. The scene is hot. Oh, sorry. Anyway, no. Henry is an adventure. Let's just say that. Mm. Working with him is like working with no other. He is unique in essence because... He basically spends, like I said, he spends 9 months to a year working on the script, getting it perfect, getting it detailed, very meticulous. And then he says, I want every single person to study the script. I want them to learn the script backwards and forwards. I want you to know every single word, word for word. And I was like, but I thought we were going to improvise. I don't care what you thought. So I was like, okay, you got it. So then I go and I study the whole script, and I'm like well trained, and I like come in, I'm prepared. And he's like, you memorize the script? I said, yeah. He goes, good, now leave it in the trailer. What? And that's the methodology behind it, because what he wants really is he wants you to learn it well enough so that you can own it, mm-hmm. so that when he decides to throw a curveball or change the scene, or he doesn't like the direction, or he decides what he wrote was crap or whatever it is,
right.
he wants you to now fix it via your character, the way your character would do it. So you have to jump to the conclusions as you are that person, and you can't know that person unless you know that script backwards and forwards.
Right.
I think that's...
Corey, that's the best, that's honestly, out of six movies with Henry, that's the best description of how he works.
Very nice. Cool. Nice. That seems like an actor's paradise a little bit, to be able
to paradise
play
and a
that way.
I mean, I think
yeah, at the same time.
People who are, you know, people like Michael who are used to being on TV and a structure, crazy for it. But then there are some actors who freak out, you know, mm-hmm. there's, it's just, I have to say, I'm totally biased, but Henry, the people in Henry's films, I think, are some of the most incredibly talented people on the planet.
This...
No, but seriously.
No, but seriously, it's true.
But you have to be able to think on your feet.
But what, it's true. I think, actually, though, watching this film, the acting is really incredible, and yeah. what as a female, what I loved about it is such strong female actresses in here, which was awesome.
Frances Fisher.
Oh, she's my gosh.
Sexy as Hale.
And playing role, like age-appropriate roles.
Right.
Like, it was just like very exciting to watch. And of course, because it is called the M word. It's about menopause. It's like, okay, good. I'm glad there are a lot of strong females in this
question.
Movie.
I have an important question. Not to like,
you
break
have a
the
question.
Flow. Not to break the flow.
What?
But was Frances Fisher in Clash of the Titans?
I don't know. Marissa, can you look that up for us? And
I know, it's a
why did
one.
Why are you asking that right
because
now?
Because I watched Clash of the Titans
last night.
Like,
and
no,
you're
it was
like, is
like
that
2 months
her?
Ago, right before the screenings and stuff.
Oh.
But when I was watching, I was like, actually, Courtney was the one. She's like, isn't that Frances Fisher? And I was like,
what
is that Frances Fisher? Androgyna.
Huh. Like an androgynous character?
No, the character. No, the god, it. Androgyna. She's like, one of the. Yeah,
but she's like sexless?
No, she is the...
No, I don't think so.
But Androgyna would, like...
She's the one who
that's
had...
That's what you would think.
She's the one who had the girl that Perseus has to go after. Like, she has
this
the
is
only...
when all the YouTube comments
that's
will be like, no way!
That's
or
Cassiopeia,
yes.
like, in, according to Greek mythology. But
who is?
Interesting.
The queen is not...
Androgyna.
No. Okay.
All right, we'll move on. All right. But anyway, I think it was Frances Fisher. If not, then it's a younger woman that looks exactly like Frances Fisher. Very beautiful.
No, I really want to know.
Yeah, I am.
Well, Andromeda.
Andromeda. That's what
it's
I meant.
Not Androgyna.
That would mean something totally different.
I knew
different.
It wasn't.
She's hands over here
the sexless
really
god.
Trying to figure
the
it
god
out.
That doesn't believe in sex. I don't know.
I remember my talented and gifted classes. There was no Androgyna in fourth grade.
Right.
Andromeda.
That's what I meant
in
to
Corey's
say.
In Corey's world, it's Androgyna.
Hey, yeah.
Whatever.
He makes everything more a little more exciting.
That would be an interesting way to do Greek mythology is to just change everything
just
a little bit.
A slight tad.
So
well, especially if you don't really know the real answer. That's the fun of it. I'm doing
or
this not
do,
because I'm creative,
like...
but I just messed it all up. But you're going to watch it and enjoy it anyway.
Corey, rewrite all of Greek history right now. Here
okay,
you go.
Ready? Here we go.
And
so
well,
what happened was,
there
was a great titten.
Frances isn't in it, unfortunately.
All right, well, we just wasted 5 minutes.
Yeah. But
hey,
she is
Frances, you would have been great as the Andromeda.
You were as Androgyna.
Clash of the Titans.
And so when you're improving the scenes, how many scenes with all your aunts and your mom were improvised? Because that's when your character was playing the documentary maker.
Yes.
So were they just
there
going?
Was it there
and
was
how
a
much
scene.
Were you pretending to be like Henry? Because that's what I imagine.
Oh, that's
you know what I mean? Like you're behind the camera and I'm thinking, oh, I wonder if she's just doing her best Henry impersonation of, you know, asking the questions to the ladies and making it and I'm so tell us a little bit about that.
Would you say I was Henry?
No.
I was, no.
No.
I think I was well I
unless
I've,
I missed it, but I didn't
I've
see
watched
it.
Him do questions, but I think I was a little more gentle than he would be.
Oh.
Yeah, he really gets in there and that's, and hence his wonderful array of women's films where he does this sort of, this sort of structure where it's interviews of actresses who are willing to actually share their experiences with menopause, which you saw in there, mm-hmm. and then interweave this story of, you know, a love triangle into a station going down. So I've watched him interview women, and I don't think I totally was like Henry. I don't think I'm as New Yorkish.
As digging.
Like, yeah, get in there. But I was kinder. But the aunts, I mean, they were crazy. I just sat in the kitchen, and they did have lines, but then they totally, Henry's like, Hori said, like, throw them out. Just do what you want. Because he really truly believes that the actor knows better. And can come up with, he really is an actor's director and can come up with more brilliant lines than he wrote. So that's why he's just like, throw it away. He's done that since his first film, like to the actors, like, yeah. Throw away the script. Just see, let's see what you say. So the women just started, Frances Fisher just started shoving like lettuce down
yes,
her.
Yes, that seems amazing.
Down her, it's
wiping
amazing.
Herself with lettuce.
With lettuce, it's shoving
so
it into her.
Real. It's and so she, freaking real.
She did, she drank the, like, something people don't even notice. Do you remember that part? She actually picks up some olive oil that was a prop and starts chugging it. Yes! Nobody notices that. That is one of my favorite parts.
I thought it was wine. I thought it was wine.
No,
it was picking up the wine.
That canister of olive oil. And then they
she really drank olive oil like
that?
Yeah.
Oh
my gosh.
And I was just, and you're in the scene. Oh my gosh. So it kind of helps because you're like, wow,
you know,
mom's really going
nuts. In Lost Boys, the second one, the tribe it was called, I actually created this thing called frog juice, which was, it was actually raw eggs. Smashed up garlic and holy water, which of course wasn't really holy water, but it was still water. And I really did. I took water and raw eggs and garlic and I stirred them up and then just downed it. And everybody on the set was like, are you serious right now? Did you really do that? You didn't have to do that, dude. We could have faked it. And I was like, no. Like, a frog doesn't fake it, all right?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Love it.
That's disgusting. Did that make you throw up?
No, but it was such a good gimmick and everybody loved it so much that we had to do it again in part 3.
Oh, for the love
and they were
of
like,
Mike.
They wrote it into the script. So I was like, did you really?
To do like 50 takes drinking
bet. Oh.
I had some friends.
The first time it was just like once and then we got it and that was it. But the next time, of course, it was like,
they
had
were
to make
waiting
a big
for
I just
it.
Don't know how you didn't hurl because I remember these two twins and their mom, whenever they were sick, they always used to, she cracked two raw eggs, fed it to them, and then they would throw up. I mean, so I don't know how you
make
like
them throw
great,
up.
That sounds like a great idea.
Good parenting.
Well, no, I learned it from Stallone. He did it in Rocky, right?
He yes,
took like
he does.
Three raw eggs, he put them in a blender.
Mom's nodding.
Blended
mother,
them and then drink it.
Yeah,
my mother, the
it's
nurse, approves of raw eggs.
I learned it in Beauty and the Beast when Gaston does it. No.
Oh, yeah. You are Belle.
Oh,
let me just say.
Oh, thank you.
You're Belle.
You're at
thank
least
you.
A Belle.
But I'm Ariel.
Oh, you are Ariel.
I am
yes.
Ariel. What
and
is
he? I am Prince Cavanaugh.
Ooh, I don't. We,
is that one of the
this
Greek
is
characters?
No, I just made him up.
One of his
Prince Andromeda.
I just made him up. Prince Cavanaugh.
Okay, you're Prince Cavanaugh.
He sounds
Cavanaugh.
Very romantic, doesn't he?
Sounds like it.
And when you guys
he's
were
the gay, he's the gay prince of all fantasy land.
Aww.
Oh, we love
Prince
you so
Cavanaugh.
Much.
Thank you so much. Would you like me to do your nails?
Yes.
Yes, yes, let's do it. Okay. All right, next, we're all going to the salon.
Party.
We're going to get some shoes. We're going to go to a tailoring party. We're going to have a little,
this is
you know, alone
next
time.
Film.
I know
this is princess
this is
right movie
here.
Right
yeah.
here.
Princess
I love
movie.
It. That's funny.
You're going to manscape Beast.
You're right. I like it.
Yes. I like that. Yeah.
Sounds brooding.
Yeah. And so
Brute,
when you guys,
no way.
When you guys were being cast as boyfriend and girlfriend,
yes.
did you already know
that? Did we
that
have to get intimate?
Well, you
yes.
don't in the
you
film.
Know.
Yeah.
No,
because we just so much.
The whole time.
Like,
all
life
the time.
All the time. For like the last 5 years.
The whole time we feel like Moxie doesn't like you. And we're like, why is she even dating him? But did it ever start to where your relationship was closer and then, or no, was it always very separate?
Corey and I, do you want me to answer that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Corey is one of my favorite people on the earth. I love him. He is like, this older brother that I never had. I think I could sit and listen to him for hours. And ever since the second we met, I was absolutely smitten, a smitten kitten with him. But not in that way.
Mm.
I mean, I suppose we could try it sometime. Mm-hmm. But Courtney would probably get kind of mad. But
I
like,
Henry
I just,
would...
we have...
Sorry.
Okay. But,
but
you
I
know,
feel like your relationship is very brother-sister.
It's totally brother-sister.
And the whole time we were rooting for your character and Michael's character to really get
you don't
together.
Think, are you attracted to me?
You're gorgeous.
I think you're really hot.
Yeah.
Duh.
But you're kind of taken, so.
Does that matter in LA?
But you guys are actors.
You know. I don't know, but I want to hear Corey's answer.
My answer is that my girlfriend wouldn't care.
No.
Oh.
Your answer to the question, let's do it.
Come on, bring it. Let's go.
What would you have answered if I hadn't answered first about boyfriend, girlfriend?
I thought it was going to be a lot more that way, to be honest, because to me, I didn't see a love triangle. Personally speaking, I saw a guy that was to the curb and she was over it. And like the first chance she got, she jumped to the other ship.
Yes.
I think that it should have been a little bit more like we had something going into it other than just making out on a couch once. But I mean, there should have been some kind of like at least us at breakfast or something or
at breakfast.
I don't know. There's a little bit more showing that like we do have.
Breakfast in bed.
Oh yeah, that would have been cute.
But so many girls on Twitter who follow Corey are like, oh my god, he's kissing in the first scene. It's so hot.
I know, they got so excited by it.
Yeah.
My Feldfan fam.
Feldfan fam loves it. So
that's great. I think a Feldfan fam.
Yeah.
No, Feldfan fam.
Yeah.
Or Feldfan or Feldfam, but if they're everything, then they're a Feldfan fam.
Oh my gosh, they love the making out scene. It was right off the bat. I mean, he and I were. I thought it was a cute scene.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, I haven't gotten my period. I think you're pregnant. And he's like, what?
I think each time, there goes that one.
Cool, babe. Thanks for ruining my night.
Yeah. I think each time you went to kiss someone in the movie, actually, you mentioned your period.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure each time there it's somehow brought up.
That's so romantic.
Only in a Jaglom film is that sexy.
Right, exactly.
And it's awesome because women are really like.
I thought a Catherine Beyond movie might work as well.
I want to talk about the scene at the end when you are getting cramps. Because I don't think I've ever seen a scene in a movie where someone shows cramps as extreme as they were. But, like, also, it's really adorable because he's, like, really trying to take care of you. And you're really – and you go back and forth from being in so much pain to, like, really trying to love him as well. And so just talk about that because how did you guys make that work to where you both knew what was going to be happening? And because it seems like it was very natural, very improv.
Improv. I knew it was – he had certain lines that he was going to say, like, I'm a you know what? I love your questions and I love the scenes that you pick out because that was – it's like, okay. Henry's like, okay, here's a scene where you two – this is where he professes his love to you, says he's a schmuck, and you get your period. And then you guys make out, and it has to be a happy ending. So go. So I really have bad periods like that. My periods are really, 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 really bad.
But do you really, like, scream and yell and, like, all that? Really?
I do, yeah. Wow. I throw up.
I wanted to almost, like, I was...
No, it's not dramatic.
Jeez.
I wanted to yell at the TV,
your eye twitch
like,
there, or eye, if you can replay that in slow motion, she got a little twitch in the eyes. Are you serious?
Someone will make
a
joke of it.
Are you not feeling sorry for my period?
A lot of men, like, don't understand
they
that.
They don't understand!
Just take two little toothpicks and stick them up there and see if that feels good. Do you scream or no?
Sorry, this is what the whole movie's about, actually, is this perspective.
It really is bad. It does feel like somebody's stabbing my ovaries, and if I don't get the proper medication time, I'm like, ah! And it feels like I'm pregnant. I mean, I don't know. I haven't had a child, but I'm sure it would be.
They actually say
it probably would be.
They say cramps are what your contractions will be like.
Yeah.
That's what they say cramps are like. Yeah,
imagine that for 9 months.
No, you don't. You don't contract for 9 months.
Well, no, at least the last
month
and a half, though, right?
You're a walking birth control commercial.
So, do you want to?
Seriously,
do you want to?
Are you got a mom here? Character? Can she back this up? Or?
I'm starting to sweat. This is so funny. I'm starting to sweat in this dress.
Oh, nice.
No, it just happens with Brown Corey. He makes me laugh so much. So if you notice a little girl sweats going on.
Well, some of the actresses in the film talked about they enjoyed menopause because they didn't have cramps or a period anymore.
Completely, that was like, yeah.
That was something you were like, I'm on that train.
Yeah, that's a positive. But it was a really awkward scene, and it actually, they cut it more than I would like. Because I went further. Like, I just
took it out there.
Yeah. And, but it was so much fun. It was so much fun to be like, he says something like, I love you and I've been lying to you. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You know? And it's just great where there's a film where that happens. Corey's looking at me like,
No. So actually, wrong. I'm thinking about, you know, so because wrong. I've obviously dated a few girls in my day. And
married.
Was married a few times, and I've done all of the above.
Has the cutest son ever. Yes. Like,
there's
ever.
A positive that comes out of all this.
Yeah.
But the point is that through my different incarnations of relationships, some of them have been just as bad as that. As a matter of fact, the one I can think of off the top of my head is actually a radio host herself. Her name is Carrie Kasem.
Oh.
Daughter of the great Casey Kasem.
Yes, Casey Kasem.
And let me tell you, she was just like you in that movie. Oh, my God.
She would
start screaming and yelling, and she'd be like, oh, my God! Yeah. It's time! Fuck everybody!
Dropped an egg!
Exactly.
That part is hilarious.
That was real.
But then
my current girlfriend, like Courtney, she doesn't even flinch. I mean, like, maybe she'll, like, sleep for the day, maybe, on her first day. And
I'm jealous.
She'll
get like
so
kind of moody and pout,
this.
And she'll go lay in her, you know, her bed, and that's it.
But Corey's real. I mean, you know what? He is such a good. Like, I'm sure he's an amazing partner to be with because one of my other favorite scenes is a scene where we called my mom, who's in the listening audience, and actually agreed. I actually put her on the phone with Corey, where I'm like, "Don't talk. I don't want to."
Yes.
And that's so. That's so loving, like the way that he handles
that,
that situation.
Is that how you are in real life?
I would
with
no,
things like
but,
that.
Yes, well, I think he is.
Yeah,
one of
I mean,
same.
I just want to. I always
yes,
want to make everybody happy. You know, I'm like the pacifist, so it's like, oh, I'll fix it. I'll fix it. Don't worry.
Yeah,
about it, you know?
he's.
I think we saw that in
like,
your character
sweet.
Because that scene specifically was one of the ones where the audience automatically was on his side,
right.
And we found ourselves like, oh gosh,
it's
what
so,
a good boyfriend.
I know.
And then when you go with Michael, you're like, stop.
Yeah,
like,
but he loves.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
you're like,
I
he
know.
Doesn't do anything wrong.
I know. Timing.
I know. I'm not saying my character. You know, I don't agree with all her choices either.
She's not flawless. She's not flawless, right, Tiana?
Right.
I mean, someone
like
was
me.
Guided by the director.
But now right? You have played a lot of actresses in films. Is that how do you pull from your friends that you know? How much do you pull from yourself? How much do you pull from other actresses that you've worked with that you're like, I'm going to exploit this and I get to? Or is it really just mostly like from your life?
I don't think my life is quite as dramatic as the characters I've portrayed. I mean, and it's not as funny. So yeah, I kind of amp it up. I mean, you're in a town, this is a town full of actors and actresses and artists. So it's not hard to get a collage of hilarity to put into a film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just not difficult. There's so many great stories that should be heard and should be told and make for great scenes. Don't you think?
All like, I can say is that like everybody that sees this movie loves the movie.
Yeah.
Well, there's so many different aspects to it. Besides,
New York Times was great. That was good.
Yeah. Besides talking about menopause,
both gave it
a
great
review. A lot. San Francisco Chronicle.
New York Daily News actually mentioned me in the article. That was very nice.
Oh, there you go.
So did San Francisco.
Nice.
Yep.
I didn't see it, but I'll believe it.
Yeah, you've gotten really good reviews.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think what's great about this film for you is that we get to see you in a role that I don't necessarily think you've played where we're like always on your side and but you're also like, you know, people are someone close to you that you want to be with and you're really trying to work for sort of double crossing you and but
yeah.
At the same time they're the lead and they're the so we're on her side as well. It was the audience watching had a really weird
we're torn
because we're like we want her to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't do anything wrong, so you're not the bad guy.
It's kind of cool. That's kind of cool with Henry's films is there's no...
Good
it's like
bad.
Life. There's no black and white. And I think that
mm-hmm.
also makes for, you know, forgiveness is like... It's just humanity. There's no black and white. There's no pessimist. There's no, you know, there's just... Well, there are pessimists. I mean, there's no protagonist, an antagonist necessarily.
I think the antagonist in this one was the system, really.
Yes.
The system for
that
the TV station.
That's very good.
Because it was like, you know, New York coming down, but none of the guys, they ended up not being that bad of guys. They were just doing their job. They were part of the system. And I think that's why a lot of people will go to the mm-hmm. film. You know, it's not just about menopause. You know,
right.
There's a whole nother storyline that parallels it.
And it's a huge problem. I mean, when I was the one thing I had to do is research, or I wanted to research about small mom and pop stations that are getting completely slashed across the country. And there are so many people out of work. 60% of independent radio stations have been and TV stations have been cut in the last like 2 years. So, you know, which isn't surprising with arts cuts and funding cuts for the, you know, for art programs and for it's just all goes syndicate or some big guy comes in and takes over. So that was really close to my heart, especially being an independent film actress and having been in a lot of indie films. It's like it's just the reality of the situation. So yeah.
I really like the Norma Rae aspect of it. You know what I mean?
That, yeah.
Like, the part, my favorite part of the movie, I think, is when she like gets the idea for the handcuffs and she like, locks
she
everybody
sort of
in
becomes Joan of Arc a little bit.
And just like starts chanting and ranting and like gets everybody all, you know, excited. That's the thing for me. That's really what sells the movie. Without that arc, I don't know if I would have gotten bored, but like that arc is what makes it like, yeah. And then you really start ranting for her and chanting and
yeah.
You know, everybody's just into it. You know,
because yeah.
You really feel yeah. bad because, like, corporate takeover is a reality of, you know, the society we mm-hmm. live in today. Mm-hmm. And it happens all the time. And all of your friends are always calling you saying, like, oh, my God, I just got laid off. I just got laid off. I just got laid off.
Yeah.
You know, in our industry, you don't really get laid off. You just don't get as much work.
Yeah.
That's so true.
You could get laid off because you could get the job and then they could go in a different direction.
Yeah.
That's the layup. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. You know, we're going in a different direction.
It just wasn't working. It just wasn't working. Your acting was fabulous.
Yeah.
It wasn't your acting at
all.
You
didn't do anything wrong.
It's just that you were, your hair was a little different than we imagined. Once we saw you on screen next to the star, it just wasn't working out. So I'm so sorry.
And this, ladies and gentlemen, is chapter 4 of choreography.
That's right.
Go out, buy it right away.
No, actually.
Buy it immediately.
It's part 22.
I'm sorry.
Part 22. There are 22 chapters in choreography.
Oh, wow. And so, Corey, what was it like for you?
We are at chapter 27 right now.
What was it like for you working with such a prominent indie film director? Like, working in the indie scene, because you were, like, blockbuster films for so long. And so what was it like? What's different about, you know, the indie scene and with working with such a big indie director of, like, Henry?
Well, you know, it's interesting for me because, as you said, like, I did blockbuster kind of A-list stuff most of my career. And then at a certain point got into some trouble. And then I had to do a bunch of B-movies for a little while, which really sucked. And then I kind of crawled my way back into the studio system. And it was like I'd do a little bit here, a little bit there. But then I'd still have my love in the independent world.
Yeah.
And, like, right now that's where I am. And I feel like working with somebody like Henry, it's like working with, like, Woody Allen or maybe, you know,
absolutely.
Right in that mm-hmm. that kind of vein. So where, like, you can't get any bigger in mm-hmm. the indie world. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Totally.
Like, you're either with Henry or you're with, you know, Woody Allen or Albert Brooks, and that's kind of the three guys that do this.
Right.
You know? And it's an honor. I mean, I felt honored from the moment that I, you know, knew that he was interested in casting me in a lead because... You know, it is part of film history, and he still shoots on 35mm. Hello?
Yes, I thought that was very interesting.
That to me, that's where I'm at. That's where my heart's at. Like, I don't get filming everything on digital and then, like, trying to put it through a process so it still looks like film. What? Why
right.
not just make it with film in the first place and then you don't have to process it?
I think, yeah, I think a big thing for people to know is because he still films on that, it's great to go see it in the theater.
Absolutely.
Where they have, you know, the capability to really play it and see all the colors that film still gives you that digital necessarily doesn't.
There's no, like, CGI and non-mass material. You're seeing people. You're seeing people and you're seeing actors do their craft. And that is what's cool about Henry's film. I mean, he has not ever sold out to... He produces his own films. He releases his own films. So what you're seeing...
I think this is his 29th self-produced film, which is incredible.
Yeah. Wow.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. And that's amazing. I mean, that's just... To be able to say in the 70s, I'm not going to sell it to the studio system. And
which
then,
in the 70s was very, very hard.
Was very,
now
yeah.
I feel like it's a lot easier for people to make films. But I think that's what some people nowadays don't know or don't realize how hard it was to get out of the studio system. Or to make a movie without a studio.
But it's also more difficult
still have a presence.
Now.
Mm-hmm. To still have a presence and be taken seriously even though you're not in the studio system.
Absolutely,
well, I
was
reading this article with Julia Roberts and... She was saying how she doesn't even understand the system now. I think, like, early on in your career, you still had remnants of some sort of studio system. And
oh,
when you
I'm
say, like,
absolutely.
Things started getting crazy because they're all digital, because anybody can make a film now, you know? Yeah. There is no system that is left, really. I mean, she said, you know, you make a dollar on a film, you make $2 in the next film, great. Now you make a film for, you get a huge salary, then you go do a free film because you can't, because it could be a blockbuster. You don't know.
Absolutely.
And the other thing is that, you know, with the studios, the way they work is like, it's either $100 million, $200 million, $300 million, or $5 million. There's like nothing in between. Yeah. Like I know, like growing up my whole life, like a lot of the big movies that I did were like $20 million, $30 million, $40 million. And even if you, upgrade that to $100 million, $120, $140, you know, which is close to what we would be at, it still is a far cry from $300-$400 million. Like they just didn't even conceive of something like that in those days. And look, the films were all very, very successful.
You know, absolutely.
Star Wars was done for what? Like probably 20 million.
The first three were done for like nothing. A fraction of what they make them now. I remember reading an article that the buttons like were all completely fake and would fall off all the time after they would press them all the time, which is great to know.
Yeah. And they thought the lightsabers were like lame and stuff.
Yeah.
I read stories about, but I think that.
Yeah, because at first they were. They were just like little glow sticks that they were trying to use. Yeah, and then like, later they put computer stuff on it to like make them actually glow. You know, so they were like, oh, look what we did in After Effects. Cool, huh?
I love the story of that. But now you don't know, again, if a movie, it could be made for $20,000. I mean, probably not $20,000, but you could feasibly, somebody could make a movie like Blair Witch.
Totally.
And
$100,000.
And it just pops, and then they make a crap ton of money.
But the only problem with that theory is that there's a million films a year made thinking they're all going to be the next Blair Witch.
So how do you choose? How do you know what to take?
Yeah. One actually does it, but that's one out of literally 1,000 that year.
I just think maybe it'll be this one. The system has changed since Corey's, you know, grown up. I think the system has completely changed, and it'd be really hard to navigate in this particular time and place when you used to have that.
Well, I'm very grateful for the fact that now I have the opportunity to do it all.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In voiceover work, Ninja Turtles.
I'm working on Ninja Turtles right now.
So we're rad.
Talking about Goonies 2, which is very exciting.
That's going to be really rad. And are you excited to get back on a set like that? Because that set probably looks like the most fun set.
I mean, when you say like that, I mean, I still do a lot of big production stuff, but it's
specifically that set. It won't be the same set.
You know what I mean?
It's going to be a whole new.
I have no idea.
Hopefully not.
That would be sad.
It is Richard Donner directing it. You know what I mean? So I'm sure he's going to use his old school. I mean, he's like Henry. You know what I mean? Like they've got that way. They work the way they work. So I don't think he's going to go and change. But whereas with Goonies, we do like maybe one or two camera setups. I know that like 10 years later, 15 years later, when I would work with Dick on like Maverick or like one of the Lethal Weapon movies or whatever, I'd come down to the set and he's got like 4 or 5 cameras set up.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Yeah. He'd be shooting, literally rolling 4 or 5 cameras at a time, and I'd be like,
wow, that's like so
how do you
style.
Do this? Yeah, that's but amazing. The way they do it is you get through 5 pages that way
because
you're doing all the coverage on the entire scene at once. Which is pretty cool.
I remember when I convinced Henry to stop doing one camera and go to 2 cameras, is like ripping his arm off. He was like, I don't understand. No, we're not doing that. And it was devastating. The first 3 movies, we had just 1 camera on the scene. And every scene, there is no continuity. It's mostly, it's maybe scripted, but it's improv. It was a mess in the editing room. But finally,
I bet.
We had 2 cameras for the whole movie for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
2 was like, yeah.
Yeah, because you can actually shoot 2 different things at the same time. You got second unit possibilities.
Oh my God. Otherwise, it's so hard to plug it together with the Jaglom film. It's just hard to.
I can't imagine.
He's a great editor, and Ron Vignoni is an amazing editor.
Ron Vignoni deserves a lot of credit for this film as well, because he really works hard. And he is kind of, he's behind the scenes. He's the one that plays Mrs. Goldenrod.
Real? He plays the editor in the.
Yeah,
he plays a little side editor.
Yeah.
Now, that's some of the. A lot of people, when they talk about this film, they talk about the TV station is sort of the way it's a family and everyone kind of does a few jobs. You know, Moxie's she's an actress, but she's a producer, and your character kind of produces and does documentaries. They talk about, and you are also like meddling in the money and all these different things. And. They kind of say that that's a little mirror to the way Henry works. And would you guys say that that's pretty true?
For sure.
Like everyone kind of has.
I wear like
does cool things.
59 hats.
Yeah.
And I like them all. I mean, they're all fun. It's all, I just feel lucky.
It's like going
to
film school.
Yeah.
You go to a Henry set, it's like so you're on film school because you could end up doing any part or any part of production at any time.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool and different.
Learn so much. You learn so much, and then there's brilliant actors. He does have a brilliant cast. We've gotten a lot of raves for our cast.
Absolutely. The acting in this film is, yes, it's pretty sensational.
Right.
Oh, some Twitter.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Tweeting.
I actually have to get going because my child's in school and he gets out at 2:30.
Well, let's just talk about where everyone can find you guys. Do you guys have Twitters? And I'm sure both y'all do. Where can they find you on Twitter?
Tana F at...
No, at Tana F.
At Tana F.
Right.
There you go.
I'm really good at it.
She's so Twitter savvy.
I have a really good person who does it for me.
She's Twabby.
Twabby.
Twitter savvy.
I like that.
And I do it all myself.
Nice.
I laboriously spend time day after day.
What's your site?
Tweeting to the twatters.
It's Corey Feldman.
It's at Corey underscore Feldman.
At underscore. All right.
At Corey underscore Feldman.
Who took the hyphen Feldman?
You know, I don't know. And who took at Corey Feldman? Who took just at Corey Feldman, right? Somebody got it. It's actually a writer. A writer named Corey J. Feldman, I believe.
Why didn't he do Corey J.?
Who's also on Facebook.
Interesting.
But anyway, so
Very cool.
Facebook. My Facebook page is there. And we've got CoreyFeldman.net. We've got my Corey's Angels site.
He actually has
where you can
own
see the Duh video. Corey'sAngels.com. We've got Corey's Angels clothing line.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is on its way to be developed. We did a talk show for a while, Corey's Angels Talk Live, which you can see those episodes on filmon.com, along with the Dove video. You can find my first video, Central Millennium, on MTV. And all of this falls under the big bracket of my YouTube page. Okay,
nice.
I'm done now. Yeah.
Great.
Oh, yeah, iTunes, you can buy my music.
Was it good for me? Was it good for you?
Yeah. iTunes, Rhapsody, Spotify. Ooh.
And you guys can...
There's more.
Just stop. I can't take it anymore.
Okay, and have you checked out the WB site lately? Oh, yeah, I'm all over it.
Okay.
I was having cheap sex with myself.
And the M Word is out in select theaters.
Yes.
It's all over Los Angeles.
All Lemley's theaters, baby.
And it's open across the country now.
Yeah,
so
great.
So you can see it. And if you're in Florida, you can see it. If you're in Texas.
Can you tell me what... Is it in Texas?
Yeah.
What city in Texas?
It's in like four cities in
Is
Texas.
It really?
They have a lot of indie films, actually. Texas is
okay, because you know what?
Austin,
I have
for sure.
Fans.
Yeah, Austin,
It
Dallas,
is in Austin.
And Dallas.
Oh, for sure. Austin
Houston.
Is a great city
like,
for film.
I have
film.
Fans all over Twitter that are like... I can't find it. Where is it? No. I'm just going to have to watch it on demand. I'm like, no, it's out there. Take a little road trip. Could you please?
Yes.
Is there a website for the movie?
Yes. The M Word, the movie.
TheMWordTheMovie.com, probably?
Yeah.
She knows.
Or you can Google
She doesn't want
it.
To tell you because she wants
it.
You to find
it's
out yourself.
So bad.
Right?
The M Word. I think it's M Word, the movie.
Great.
.com.
Awesome. That's great. Well, thank you guys so much for coming in. This
was
really great.
Movie,
wasn't it?
Yeah, it was
together,
definitely
better than that last one. Oh, no, that was awesome.
That was
no,
the one where
you
called me names
really
and I cried.
Oh, well, thank you guys so much for watching.
I did not.
I caught.
You guys can find us at anatomyofamovie.com. You can find me on Twitter at Chloe West X. And remember, we're not critics, we're fans just like you. Thanks so much, guys. See ya.
Bye.
Peace out.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the rest of the Anatomy of a Movie staff, we would like to thank you for listening and subscribing to the show. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email or tweet us. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been Anatomy of a Movie.